Shabbat shalom. The Father's good to us, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Well, my prayer today is that I'm able to deliver this word in the way that he administered it to me in my life, so that way it can be an encouragement, an uplifting, and timely word for each and every one of us here, because we know how good our Father is. So, with that being said, we're going to be resuming and starting off in chapter 19 of Genesis, and we're going to be looking at Lot's life. And before we dive completely in, we know and can reflect on Genesis chapter 18 being a beautiful example of how Abraham conducted himself very well in humility and in a way that just allowed him to be a great example for us of someone that falls down but gets back up again and keeps going. Amen. In the most humble way possible. And I noticed that a common theme that was presented there was hospitality, that we could see and draw from the fact that hospitableness, humbleness, meekness, gentleness, and I could probably try and go through the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, was there in Abraham's life and very apparent that he made his vessel like we should be striving to be a place hospitable for the set-apart Spirit. I apologize for my voice might sound a little different, but I didn't want to have anything set back from the opportunity of being able to speak here. And I strongly believe after today, my voice is going to be right. Yeah. So, but let's go ahead and get started. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And the two messengers came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose up to meet them. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now we can already see Lot, he learned something. He was able to take something in humility and actually present himself well, and he was able to recognize the messengers. That's a key component, because as we've been learning, that the Father uses the method of agency to be able to present himself in a way to the people that would be able to recognize him. But what I found absolutely incredible about this verse is the two messengers in this moment can relate to us as the Torah, the instructions of Almighty Yah, and the prophets. Yeah. And it's so important that we have to be willing to receive that and put that within ourselves, so that way we can walk in the same way that Messiah did. And what I find interesting in that, let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Now, right now, the common theme at the moment is going to be focusing on the fact that the Torah and the prophets are still relevant. That's why Almighty Yah has us where we're at, yeah, absorbing as much as we can, so that way we can be those set-apart vessels and the set-apart dwelling place that he can operate in us and through us. And I'm trying so hard not to jump too far ahead. I know how y'all feel. So, in regards to the Torah and prophets, there's an amazing reflection that we can see in the Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, 1 begins, "And after 6 days, Yeshua took Kepha and Jacob and Yochanan, his brother, and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And see, Moshe, the Torah, and Eliyahu, a prophet amongst prophets, appeared to them, talking with him. And Kepha answering said to Yeshua, Master," here's that hospitality. This is why it's so important to make sure that we receive this word correctly and position ourselves for these moments.
Yes. So important.
Man. Kepha answering said to Yeshua, "Master, is it good? It is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 booths, one for you, one for Moshe, and one for Eliyahu." We are booths. And we learn from Sukkot by building the flimsy tabernacles that that's what this flesh is. It's a means to an end. That one day we'll depart from this broken state that we're in now and be able to thrive with Almighty Yah and everything that He has promised us. But we have to make sure we're walking in the same way that He adheres to. While He was still speaking, see, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And see, a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I did delight. Hear Him." And this is so amazing how Almighty Yah has appeared to us. Ray showed Himself mighty to us in our lives. After everything, after the brokenness that we partook in, and after the moments we fall down and have to get back up again. You know, praise Yah, He's reminding me of an experience I never shared with anyone. And it's kind of silly, funny, and overwhelming all in one package. And I remember a few years back, and I was learning and experiencing these different things and trying to understand the Word as best as I can, and just going through a lot. I was in my living room, snotting, crying on the floor. And I asked the Father, do you still send messengers? Do you still do these things? Am I just confused? I was confused, but there's grace and forward motion and learning and growth. But of course, He saw me in that moment. And it was a moment to build my faith. And I'm snotting, crying, and I hear air brakes. Psh. I look outside, and I'm like, oh, UPS is here. So get myself gathered up together, try and man up, make it look like nothing was going on. I walk outside. The gentleman gets out the vehicle. He's got his mustache, glasses, and a cool little safari hat. He was decked out. And I miss having him down here. He's not down here anymore. But he handed me the package, and I was about to walk back, and he was walking back to his truck. He stopped, and he turned around. He walked up to me. He said, "I don't know why I'm telling you this, but God's going to be able to use you. You're going to do great." Well, I probably look like a malfunctioning robot. I was trying to keep my face right, like I'm trying to right now. And it's all the Father. Because in my weakness, He's my strength, just like for each and every one of us. So I said, "Thank you. Thank you." And He just said, "No problem, son." Just walked back to his truck like it was nothing. Now I went back in the house, and you want to talk about snotting. I was snotting out my eyes. So I was just, it's incredible how He reminds us of these things. And, you know, it's all for the building up. But He's so good. Let's continue. Let's continue. His Word is so good. In verse 6, "And when the taught ones heard, they fell on their faces." It's that posture lesson, that humility. "And were much afraid," that reverence. "But Yeshua came near and touched them and said, 'Rise and do not be afraid.' And having lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Yeshua only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Yeshua commanded them, saying, 'Do not mention the vision to anyone until the Son of Adam has raised from the dead.' And His taught ones asked Him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that Eliyahu has to come first?'" The prophesying. "And Yeshua answering said to them, 'Eliyahu indeed coming first and shall restore all. But I say to you that Eliyahu has already come, and they did not recognize Him.'" That's why it's so important whenever He appears to us that we have to recognize. That's why we show up. It's literally for the embetterment and the building up of the body in spirit and truth. So we can recognize, to get our eyes right. But I say to you, Eliyahu has already come, and they did not recognize him. But they did whatever they wished. That's right, did to him whatever they wished. Now we know how pretty awful the next couple of verses can get, the situation that Lot's dealing with the men of Sodom. And that's just a very simple reflection on the fact that is if we yield to the flesh, we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. And given over to a delusional mind, a mind that's only hungry for the matters that are dying and fleeing from this earth. Well, Brother Scott brought that up last night and brought up Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And if y'all know me, I love Ecclesiastes. I love a good challenge, and it allows you to reflect and dive deep. It's like surgery. And just the fact, though, that there's a season for all things, and there's things on this earth that we can't take with us. And that was a good reminder, because sometimes we get caught up. We get caught up with our monetary blessings. We get caught up with the things that we can produce with our own hands. But we can't take that with us. And it's so, so, so important to make sure that we are continually allowing ourselves to be poured into so we can pour out and not replacing that with any kind of idol whatsoever. In this way, so in verse 12, in this way, the Son of Adam is also about to suffer by them. So we could be the ones either causing pain, or we could be the ones receiving life, to give life. Then the taught ones understood that he had spoken about to them about Yochanan and Mercer in regards to Eliyahu. So another reflection before we go back to the Torah. In Luke chapter 16, and I've shared this before, on how important it is, and within, also tying into what Brother Scott brought up, about not wanting to hold on to the physical that's here, be willing to let go of it. Because we know Lot loved Sodom. It was all part of his plan. But that was it was a fleshly, corrupted decision. And he was holding on to it with tooth and nail. And we can see that in just his language alone, in the way he speaks. And we got to make sure that we're not in that position. But we could be showing up, going through the motions, receiving the word, and allowing all these things to be poured into us. But if we're still behaving in a way that we have hunger for the city life, for Sodom, not that the city is bad to be in, it's just we know how the city can get. But, you know, it's detrimental, it's dire to our walk to make sure that we don't sow to the flesh and just go through the motions. But Luke, Siri is trying to pop up on me. Luke 19 through 31. And this is an amazing parable that Yeshua was handing out for those that were taking the things of Yah and only using them for their own fleshly benefit, to get them to realize that these things of this earth that you're sowing to is going to lead you to a bad position during judgment day. Because even though there's death now, there is going to be a first and second resurrection, which was said. And I really needed to hear that. But there was a certain rich man, this is Luke 16:19, who used to dress in purple and fine linen, lived luxuriously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Eleazar, being covered with sores, who was placed at his gate. There's people that's going to be placed in our lives. The Father Yah knows how to test everyone. And we've seen that in Abraham's life, and now we're seeing it in the latter life of Lot. That everything that we face day to day is genuinely being taken account for. Every word, every thought, everything. I mean, we see that because Sarah laughed within herself, and he heard. It's a reminder. He knows more than what anyone could ever know. Yeah. Ever. Yeah. And longing to be fed, he was starving, with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Indeed, even the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, I remember the times that I was homeless. I don't know if anybody knows that. I was homeless 3 times in my life. And it's very humbling. I got myself there, you know, because I was puffed up, prideful, sown to the flesh. I didn't know the things of Almighty God. But the third time, I was down here. God just recently turned my life over to the Father. I was thinking, like, that's all right. I've been here before. Maybe this time will be different because I'm serving you now. It wasn't different. It was blessed beyond blessed. I went from my truck at Joshua's Marina, just in a couple of days, to an abandoned FEMA trailer, to a shipping container being made into a home for me, and then blessed with a job driving 18-wheelers. And then we got a house, and then it led to an even better house. I mean, this is within 2 years. That blows my mind. How Father Yah, He just wants to show how much He loves us. But we have to be willing to endure whatever it is in the moment, in the season, whatever that season wills, to be able to see Him show mightily to us. So that way, we can be the blessing. Thank you, Father. He does not fail. I'm glad I cleared all that mucus out this morning. I'd be snotting. Oh, mercy. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And it came to be that the beggar died. It was carried by the messengers to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And while suffering tortures in Sheol, having lifted up his eyes, that's why we gotta lift up our eyes and recognize while we can. And this is a parable, this is a teaching lesson. He saw Abraham far away and Eleazar in his bosom. And crying out, he said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me and send Eleazar to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm suffering in this flame. We know what Revelation says whenever it comes time for the lake of fire to be initiated. And that's why it's so, so important for us to put aside whatever it is that's in our way. It could be literally what we think is a blessing, or it could be the testing moment that's bringing either the worst or the best out of you. We got to make sure that we overcome that. So that way, we're not being burned up in judgment day. Because that's one of the harder things I noticed that it doesn't get said much. But here, you're going to get the truth and the full truth. And I'm so glad that I'm being disciplined and put in a position of success. Because even every motivational speaker and even every person that you can listen to and all these people in the world that don't even know the Father knows that it takes discipline and willingness to endure discipline to be able to become successful. Because the Father implemented it in creation to be that way. Because there's something that we had to learn. Thank you. Hallelujah. And crying out, he said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me and send Eleazar to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I'm suffering in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your life you received your good. And likewise, Eleazar the evil, but now he is comforted, and you are suffering. In this life, we're going to have to embrace evil. There's going to be suffering. But if we're constantly running from it and embracing the good instead, doing what the flesh wants, then that's what we could end up subjected to. It's that same, can't even call it a humbling moment, because that's the last moment. But praise Yah, He's provided a way for us to hold on to meet at the door. Because we are His sheep. And He calls us by our name. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set. That chasm is a valley way. It's literally a depth you can't even see. It is something for sure you're not crossing over. So that those who wish to pass from here to you are unable, nor do those from here pass to us. And He said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, lest they also come to this place of torture." We all have family that we love and cherish that might not be able to yet grasp the things that we're able to walk in, and that the fruit that is able to be produced from it, if you allow it. That's why also, not just for ourselves, but for the ones we love, we have to endure this pain, so that way, for the ones, I'm repeating myself, for the ones that we love, can also have an access, a means of entry. Because we are little messiahs. By definition, Christianos is little messiahs. And we have to make sure we bear that light in the same way He did, so those in darkness can see. Abraham said to him, "They have Moshe, the Torah, and the prophets. Let them hear them." And that is the witness of itself. Not much has to be said other than what was just said from that. That's why it's so beneficial that we're in a place where we get to hear from Moshe and the prophets. And when we read it every Shema, a prophet likened unto you, I will raise up him, put my words in his mouth. I know I said that backwards. And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they shall repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moshe and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, even if one should rise from the dead." And we have one that rose from the dead. But yet there's people that are still unwilling to hear from Moshe and the prophets. That's why it's so important for us to learn and know these words, to know His likes and dislikes. That's the journey that He has us on, and it's been a beautiful one, with a lot of pain. But where there's forward motion, there's grace. And there's growth and pain if you allow yourself to grow and not be broken from it. Now let's make our way back to Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 19, verse 2. And he said, "Look, please, my masters, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet and rise early and go on your way." Now, to me, when I was reading over this in prayer, slowly and over and over and over again, so that way I don't just, brush through it, because I've done that a lot. It sounds like he's covering up, because Lot has such a heart for Saddam. He still desires a mixed form of worship to an extent. That if you listen closely, he's getting their attention away from where he doesn't want them to look, because he knows they're there for a reason. But of course, you can't outsmart the messengers, because what they say next? No. But let's spend the night in the open square. I'm sure right then and there, Lot's heart went. Not here. Not the French Quarter. Not Bourbon Street. You know? Because, do I say that? Well, how's that song? You know what comes out at night. The freaks. I'm sorry. By their choice. So I don't want anyone to take me the wrong way. But but yes, you know, that's a neat thing I've seen. But also in consideration, Lot is expressing that form of hospitality. But whenever you learn more about Lot, you know that he has a heart for both. So you kind of look at it in that approach, and it shows that essence behind it. And this is the first time I've seen it this way, and I absolutely praise the Father for that, because I was laughing and snotting about 1 o'clock in the morning. But he urged them strongly. I wonder why. And they turned into him and came to his house, and he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. And what I found interesting that we can draw from that is whenever you compare wives, we're not hearing anything yet about Lot's wife. But Sarah, Abraham was hastening. He knew what was going on. He knew how to position himself properly. He hastened because he knew whenever he was in the presence of the Father, he made sure he was upright and was not a lazy, wicked servant. He wanted to be that good and faithful servant that wants to hear the words, well done. And so with that being said, back in regards to Lot's wife, probably being salty somewhere, that was a poorly placed joke. But so in reflection to Sarah, she's a Torah-obedient wife. And that of itself is a blessing. And that should never be taken for granted. Never. And it shows a lot of where Sarah's heart is, unfortunately. That's Sarah's heart. Lot's wife's heart, unfortunately. And once again, it's another reflection on the fact of we need to make sure that we're putting ourselves in a position of humility and hospitality, so that way we can receive the things Almighty Yah wants to pour into us, so we answer correctly whenever He appears or gives an opportunity of testing. And forgive me, I need a little sip of water, and I lost it. Oh, okay. Sorry. I could feel my mouth going on a wilderness journey. It's dry. Hallelujah. But he made a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I love some unleavened bread, especially some unleavened bread pizza. But but what's interesting is this language that we notice, that the hastening, the moving quick, it continually reminds us of the Pesach and the fact that we have Yeshua Messiah, our Pesach Lamb, that bore and bled for us, bore the sins of the world and bled for us. So that way all we have to do, because now the burdens are light and the yoke is easy, it's just be hasteful and ready to serve in the ways that He prescribes for us now. And I'm so thankful for that. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every part surrounded the house. Now, I need to make sure I can contain myself for this, but I've seen this in a way that has been absolutely phenomenal. But the key words, they surrounded the house. And there's moments in our life where we may feel surrounded, especially because we hold on to the witnesses, the messengers, the Torah and the prophets. But it's so important to know the benefits of being in the house. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms 119, 9 through 16. Give them a little time, make sure everybody has time to get there. In the meantime, I need some more water. Thank you, Father. You notice that it starts off Beit, which we know to pick the graph of that is the tent. It's a dwelling place. And it goes on to say, how would a young man cleanse his path, to guard it according to your word. And we know that we receive cleansing from the dirt of the daily life, that we need to wash our hands and feet from the word. We know Yeshua Messiah is also the source of living water. And there's so many beautiful things that we can draw from that, that points to him and it points back to the Father and his word. But we have to guard it. It has to mean something to us. I have sought you with all my heart. Let me not stray from your commands. I have treasured up your word in my heart or mind, that it might not sin against you. Well, truly, we're not doing this for a checklist, not rewards and benefits. But it's because we want to be good and faithful servants unto the Father and let him know that we're thankful. Give him something to be proud of. Blessed are you, O Yehovah. Teach me your laws, your hukot, all of them, the way of righteousness. With my lips, I have recounted all the right rulings of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your witnesses. There's a lot of repetitive words because he really wants to drive home the fact of what we should be looking at and what we can receive as over all riches. Once again, we see that common reflection of making sure that we're not sowing to the flesh, and that amazing parable that Yeshua Messiah gave to us to draw from, because it could lead us into a heart of bitterness and coldness to ones that need love and care. But if we don't, he will. I meditate on your orders and regard your ways. I delight myself in your laws. I do not forget your word. And that is just so beautiful, because what we see here is an example of what it looks like and a syllabus of showing us step by step of what it looks like to have house maintenance, to make sure it's prepared and ready to receive the set apart spirit so we can operate in all of what he's pouring into us, so we can obtain that loving commitment and favor. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 16. And it's going to be verses 16 and 17. I apologize. But there's something incredible that Father Yah after the incredible Shabbat, last Shabbat, of fellowship, worship, having the word go forth, and just enjoying the benefits of being part of the body and in the house. The very next day, because we know, trial and temptation and all those things, it don't waste time. Especially when things are starting to heighten up and get right. But it's an opportunity to show the Father that you're listening. So, I can proudly say I listened. I'm just going to say, the next morning I received words of discouragement. I could have, received them, but let's just say my phone received it. So, the thing is that I'm building up to, not to edify the situation, I instantly knew I had to go to prayer. Instantly. Because I could have started feeding into a fire that just don't smell right. But after that, I'm developing my favorite routine and working out again. I decided to go and work on some temple maintenance and start exercising. And a lot of the times whenever I exercise in my little shed gym, I'll either listen to worship music or I will put on motivational speakers that revolve around the same concepts. Mm-hmm. Because the world can give some pretty out there advice. But doing my thing, getting a good pump in, I'm having fun, I'm just ecstatic. But then he was reminding me through a vision of this cave. And you could see the entrance of it. It was big. And outside that cave, there was someone picking up stones, looking at the cave. You're a cult. You're deceived. You're this. You're that. On and on and on. Stone after stone after stone. And the Father said, you're the cave. You're the cave. But if you feed that cave right, you make it hospitable. The lion from the tribe of Judah dwells in that cave. And it's only so long. Because the Father doesn't wish to see anything happen to anyone. He's the creator of life. But it's only so long that you can provoke what belongs to Messiah before Messiah has to step out. But he also reminded me, you don't humble yourself. You don't make yourself hospitable for that lion. Then all you're going to hear is the echoes of those stones ricocheting. That's all you're going to hear. Constantly. Within yourself. You might hear it constantly, daily. But as long as it's got the lion on the inside, you're doing it right. But in regards to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are a dwelling place of Elohim, and the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you? If anyone destroys the dwelling place of Elohim, Elohim shall destroy him. For the dwelling place of Elohim is set apart, which you are. Hallelujah. Which we should be striving to be. Getting up and keeping going. Hallelujah. Now, 2, the next verse, Genesis Bereshit 19, verse 5. I got too much in front of me right now. I'm juggling. And they called to Lot, and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, and let us know them." In other words, let us have our way with them. And we know them in reflection, are witnesses of the Father, in the sense of Torah and the prophets, is one way we can look at it. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of people that have had their way with the Word and want to treat the Word as a means of fleshly gain instead of spiritual hospitality. And that's a reality that we face. And those in spirit and truth are tasked with the willingness to guard what we know by standing on a firm foundation that we can build upon with the chief cornerstone. And he gives us all these beautiful things so that way we can make sure that we are truly being the set apart place for the set apart spirit. So, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. In regards to these matters and how important it is to know how to reflect on the things at hand properly. This is now, beloved ones, the second letter I write to you, in which I stir up your sincere mind to remember the words previously spoken by the set-apart prophets and the command of the Master and Savior, spoken by your emissaries. So a lot of corporate building there, all with the same policy, after the order of Melchizedek. Knowing this first, that mockers shall come in the last days with mocking, walking according to their own flesh, lust, and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fell asleep, all continues as from the beginning of creation." There is that attitude out there. Be like, why are you doing what you're doing? All is the same. Well, yeah, we know all is the same. You spend time in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. But all these things were that are of the Father were established before the foundations of the earth even existed. So by belief, by faith, we hold on to those promises and those words that the Father has spoken into our lives so that way we can see the benefit when judgment day comes. For they chose to have hidden from them, they chose to have this hidden from them, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by the word of Elohim, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water, was facing a trial and tribulation and a cleansing. And the present heavens and the earth are treasured up by the same word, being kept for fire to a day of judgment and destruction of wicked men. It's another reminder that we're here now, embracing, enduring all these trials and tribulations, because the day of the judgment is coming. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah received. But he does provide a way for his righteous to escape. Which is a beautiful reflection of the fact that there's going to be those still remaining that are called up into the air when they're in the first resurrection, when the dead will rise. Well, they will rise first. Then those remaining shall be called up into the air. Thank you, Father. But beloved ones, let not this one matter be hidden from you. that with Jehovah, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. And when I read that verse, I was reminded of how blessed we were to have that Revelations Revealed series that was just absolutely phenomenal to be able to look at these things and understand them. But I'm not going to steer into that direction because we'd end up in Daniel, Revelations, and so on and so forth. But if we did go over it, I guarantee you with the current events happening right now, it would be absolutely uncanny how lined up it is. And I could tell you, there's stuff up in here in this PC that remembers, and when it sees it, I was like, yep, that was right. So, but praise Yah, because he's the one that administers that for his people. Jehovah is not slow in regard to the promise, as some count slowness, as some are impatient, but is patient toward us. Thank you, Father. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that should be our heart attitude to no matter what matter we face during the times that we're in. And it could be challenging. It could be very trying. But ultimately, he's allowing it to take place in our lives to find out what's dwelling on the inside. Either the lion, the tribe of Judah, or emptiness, vanity, futility. Let's end up in Ecclesiastes. Excuse me. But the day of Jehovah shall come as a thief in the night for those not waiting and not knowing the appointed times, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. I wonder what feast that is. And the elements shall melt with intense heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Seeing all these are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be in set apart behavior and reverence? Looking for and hastening, some key words, having our eyes ready to see whenever he appears, and our feet ready to take off whenever it's time. If I ran today, it'd be a lot of snot. But according to his promise, we wait for a renewed heavens and a renewed earth. The renewing of, not the attitude of getting rid of, in which righteousness dwells. I don't know about y'all, but 1,000 years with Messiah ruling and reigning sounds like paradise to me. Disney World's fun and all that, but I'm tired of it. I'm gonna stop. Danger. But I say that, but I had a lot of fun. In all honesty, I need to get besides myself. So then, beloved ones, looking forward to this, do your utmost to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. That's why we need to make sure that we're positioning ourselves properly. And reckon the patience of our master as deliverance, as also our beloved brother Shaul wrote to you, according to the wisdom given to him. As also in his letters, speaking in them concerning these matters, in which some are hard to understand, which those are who are untaught and unstable. Now, teaching, stability. I know stability has a tie-in to do with foundation. If you don't have a foundation, then things kind of get a little rocky. Easier to fall over. Easier to fall and slip into sin over and over and over and over again. I keep doing that. I'm going to fall over. But it's all in regards to being untaught. Because we know that those perish due to a lack of knowledge. So, that's why Almighty Yah, I can thank him continually that he's blessed us in a position to where we can receive truth and understanding on a firm foundation. But unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also to other scriptures. You then, me then, we then, beloved ones, being forewarned, watch, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the delusion of the lawless, but grow in the favor obtained through Yeshua Messiah, a willingness to obey, and knowledge, to have the knowledge of obedience, of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. To him be the esteem, both now and to a day that abides. That's on his way. Amen. Oh. Now, let's take ourselves back to Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 19, starting with verse 6. And I appreciate y'all patience. I sound like a wet cat talking over here now. Oh. So Lot, Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him. He's putting himself in a dangerous position. And said, please, my brothers, do not do evil. That kind of stuck out to me. Because, you know, looking at the situation that they're facing and the people that they're surrounded by, he called them brothers. And we know when it comes to the word and house rules, judgment takes place within the house. And we're not to judge those that are outside the house. But if Lot was positioned at the gate in this instance as a judge, abiding to the Torah and the prophets, then it would give the sense of the fact that if he calls them brothers, then he should love them enough to judge them accordingly within the house rules. And that's something I was meditating upon just due to the fact that we're going to hear later on that I wonder if that's ever happened. It was there and gone. Thank you, Father. Yes, that his judgment was misconstrued. Thank you, Father. That his judgment was misconstrued at times. Because, I mean, hey, as soon as he denied them of what they wanted, look at their response. Who set you as judge over me? How long are we going to put up with this? Let's get rid of him. So if that's the case, then you take that mindset and think about it. Whenever he was at the gate before the messengers arrived, before the witnesses arrived, before judgment was upon them, he was more than likely letting them get away with a whole lot, and not truly judging in the protective sense. Look, please. This is, yeah. Look, please, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you and do to them as you wish. Only do no deed to these men, because they have come under the shadow of my roof. Now, we know this is a cultural difference, because even though it's not ideal, and culture is not the Torah, so we don't see these means, but I believe Lot in his despotism in this moment was doing absolutely everything to avoid blood guilt upon those that were abiding in his home. And by no means me, as the human being that I am, condone it. I believe that it's not ideal. But in his position and discomfort and franticness, he was resorting to this, which is a terrible thing. But they said, stand back. And they said, this one came to sojourn, and should he always judge? Now we are going to treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door. In regards to proper judgment and its proper context and how we should carry ourselves in that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is commonly reported that there is whoring among you, and such whoring as is not even named among the nations, so as one to have his father's wife. We could see in this, it's already starting off and dealing with the same type of immoral, sexual immoral spirit. And you have been puffed up and did not rather mourn, so that he who has done this deed be removed from among you. For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged the one who did this, as though I were present. You know, no matter what the circumstance, especially within the body, whenever there's just things that take place in whatever degree, we know that we have to adhere to our understanding and be able to administer correct and right ruling at all times and be willing to do so. Yes, the word says, in regards to, I'm sure, stumbling in the lighter afflictions, that whenever a brother or someone transgresses against you, how many times should I forgive them? 70 times, 7 times. We all know we ain't tallying that up. If we are, something ain't right. But in regards to administrating, we're going to see a good example here of how this would be handled in this instance. In the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, when you are gathered together, in my spirit with the power of our Master Yeshua Messiah, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh, in order that his spirit be saved in the day of the Master Yeshua. It reminds me of whenever there was establishment being taken place amongst the camp of Israel, and certain judgments required a time of separation and putting out the gate. You're being put in a position of vulnerability and humility from trial and tribulation in hopes that they turn from that. And I'm being reminded of second, let's go there for a moment, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we could start with verse 14. Remind them of this, earnestly witnessing before the master, not to wage verbal battles, which is useless, to the overthrowing of hearers. These are very wise words. Do your utmost to present yourself approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But keep away from the profane, empty babblings, for they go on to more wickedness. And their word shall eat its way like gangrene. Humenios and Philetos, who are of the sort. Now he just comes right out and says what's going on and who. But it's all in regards to making sure that Timothy and us conduct ourselves properly in dealing with circumstances that may be similar. In regards to these sort who have missed the goal concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and overthrow the belief of some. However, the solid foundation of Elohim stands firm, having this seal. Jehovah knows those who are his. And that's quoting Numbers 16:5. And we know that's the Torah portion of Korach. And whenever it came down to that moment, Moshe was sensitive to the Spirit, let the Father administer the judgment the way it was going to take place. And I could say in my witnessing of that, there was a time frame, a 24-hour period. The Korach could have got it right. He gives the time frames as established. That's why it's so important for us to make sure that we're in the position that he wants us in, so that way whenever it comes to time of deciding, the people will know. If it comes to that. And let everyone whose names in the name of Messiah turn away from unrighteousness. But in a large house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some unto value and some unto no value. If then anyone cleanses himself from these matters, he shall be a vessel unto value. It's about the cleansing. A lot of people want to focus on the monetary, the value of the vessel monetarily. But here we can see the importance of each and every vessel being used for its proper use, but useful as long as it's cleansed. And we have to receive that cleansing every day to make sure that we can be used mightily. And having been set apart of good use to the master, having been prepared for every good work, and flee from the lust of youth, but pursue righteousness, belief, love, peace with those calling on the master out of a clean heart. But refuse foolish and stupid questions, knowing that they breed quarrels. And the reason I chuckle at that is because it reminded me of every time I've heard there's no such thing as stupid questions until you get asked a stupid question because you know the intention of the person at the moment. And I've been known to be a little sarcastic in my lifetime, so I'm being reminded of, you know, when I was trying to be smart with mine. So, but that's a very universal area of scripture that we can all think about times with that. And a servant of the master should not quarrel, but be gentle towards all. Able to teach, patient when wrong, in meekness, instructing those who are in opposition, lest somehow Elohim gives them repentance unto a thorough knowledge of the truth. It's always hope. And they come to their senses out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his desire. The devil is used for temptation and trial. Let's make our way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, please. And let's resume on verse 5. Deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of flesh, in order that his spirit be saved in the day of the Master Yeshua. Your boasting in the situation that's taking place is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump? Therefore, cleanse out the old leaven, this is a self-cleansing, so that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened. For also Messiah, our Pesach, Passover, was slaughtered for us. So then, let us celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we know Pesach's on the horizon. And we got time to make sure we come ready to receive all the goodness and the benefits of being on that firm foundation. I wrote to you in my letter not to keep company with those who whore. Now, this is going to be the detail and the comparison of how we should place our judgment in the house and how we're not to judge out the house and leave that to Elohim. And I certainly did not mean with those of this world who whore, or with the greedy of gain, or swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone called a brother. Little quotations, a brother. If he is one who whores, these are key components, or greedy of gain, or an adulterer, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. And we know that we're walking advertisements. So we don't ever want to bring a bad stain or representation on the one that intercedes for us. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are inside? But Elohim judges those who are outside. And put away the wicked ones from among you. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so thankful for the different things that he's able to bring to light. And a lot of it shows us that we need to make sure that we put ourselves in a position of humility and the willingness of hospitality. We practice these things that are current in our lives, so that way we can also feel and see and understand the spiritual matters that are taking place from it. I mean, I could use last Shabbat as a beautiful example of hospitality and the benefit from that. Because just seeing everyone, the clean vessels of Almighty Yah, going to and fro, everyone making sure everything's right and in place and in check, you see that opportunity being met with the correct spirit. And that's one example of many, because I've been blessed with 7 years approaching eight with serving with y'all. And I'm looking forward to an eternity of it. Because we all offer great and mighty things. But on that note, I am ready to open up prayer and just be thankful to the Father for whatever else He has in store for us today. Amen. Hallelujah.